remain standing for prayer. O Lord, most holy and most merciful, look upon us with your favor as we seek to worship you. Purify our thoughts and sanctify the intentions of our hearts, that we may occupy ourselves with your sacred purpose for our lives. Truly, let your will be done, and let your sovereign reign come into the world which you have made. For we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I regard it as a very special privilege this morning to be called upon to introduce to you our speaker of the morning. Since I have known him since seminary days at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. Our speaker is Dr. Hugh McKinley, who is a Southern Baptist missionary to Rhodesia. He serves there as professor at the Baptist Theological Seminary in Guelo. Dr. McKinley is a native of Birmingham, Alabama, although he grew up in Miami, Florida, and I suppose, as is the case with me, since Louisiana is my native place, but Alabama is my home, Alabama is his native place, but Florida is truly his home state. He is a graduate of Stetson University in DeLand, Florida. He holds the BD degree from Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, as well as the Doctor of Theology degree from the same institution. He served on the faculty of Stetson University from 1953 to 1955. He has also served pastorates in the state of Kentucky and was appointed by the Foreign Mission Board in 1957 to serve in Africa. He is married to the former Rebecca Knott of Oxford, North Carolina. They have three children, Marcia, Margaret, and Dale. We're very privileged to have them in our community for this 8-month furlough, which he is going through at the present time. He plans to return to Rhodesia about the middle of August. We are privileged to have him with us, and we listen to him prayerfully after the anthem.
Oh. I want to thank Dr. Nations for introducing me. I'm just one of the fellows. I see a lot of you here whom I've met at the gymnasium and other places, and it's a joy to be with you today. It's just a joy to be here among this fraternity of Christians in this place. I may be able to speak with the languages of men and even of angels, but if I have not love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have all knowledge and understand all secrets. I may have all the faith needed to move mountains, but if I have not love, I am nothing. I may give away everything I have and even give up my body to be burned. But if I have not love, it does me no good. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous, nor conceited, nor proud. Love is not ill-mannered, or selfish, or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up. Its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Love is eternal. Meanwhile, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. This is how we know what love is. Christ gave his life for us. Dr. C. Oscar Johnson has a famous story that I'm sure he's told to theological students in many places, but has always remained very dear to me, because at the time I heard it, I was getting ready to go overseas as a missionary. While he was president of the Baptist World Alliance and was traveling many places, he said that one hot summer evening, he and a fellow companion were getting ready to leave New York City, and they decided they would walk through a slum section. And as they were walking along, looking at the tenement buildings, the people seated out on the sidewalks, garbage piled all around, there was a stink. It was really there. It was a dirty place. And in the midst of all this dirt and filth, there was a teenage boy with one arm around his girlfriend and the other pointed up to a full moon and to some stars. And Dr. Johnson said, I couldn't hear what that young man was saying to his girlfriend, but I imagine he was saying this: look at that moon and the stars, aren't they beautiful? And you're beautiful too, and I love you. And the point he was making was simply this: that boy was making love on a dirty street. And God makes love in many dirty places in this world, many clean places as well. But the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son. No kuti muari wa karanyika no kudaro, kuti wa kapa muana komana wake, wa kabrekwa mumwe woga kuti ani, nani uno tende kwari, aregi kufa, asiave no penyu husinga peri. God so loved. Many Africans named their firstborn child Rudo because of love. After several, they sometimes named the next one Tapedza, which means we're finished. But the first child, many times they have these symbolical names. Rudo, love. The GAs down in Georgia sang during one of our little summer camps, one furlough, it's love, it's love. It's love that makes the world go around. And the love of Christ constrains us to go. God's love in Christ caused me to go to spread God's good news to others. This is the motivating power and the personal commitment to missionary service. Love is the key factor in maintaining rapport with nationals. Several years ago, there were a group of us gathered at the University College in Nairobi. The man who's now teaching there, then he was professor of missions at Hamburg. He'd finished serving years as a bishop in the Church of South India, by name Stephen Neal. Stephen Neal and Owen Chadwick were there. Owen Chadwick had done research in Germany, and he was telling us about the German church during World War II. And he said it was only love that kept those people going during the time of the Hitler regime. And he gave us instances from his research. And then Stephen Neal came, and he said that he would talk to us on the subject of the missionary teacher or professor's personal life. And he started by saying this: we need the discipline of serious study wherever we are in the world. We always must maintain an interest in the aesthetic in life, the beautiful things of this world. He went on to say we need outside interests or recreation and relaxation. And if anything, we need a sense of humor. And then he closed by mentioning the personal, devotional life of the missionary teacher. And this is what he climaxed those 3 weeks together by saying. He said that our students immediately know whether or not we are living close to Christ by the love that they see in us in the classrooms, or the love that they do not see in us in the classrooms. And you know that I didn't try to sentimentalize that, but that got to me, and I realized that I plead guilty. And I lost my patience many times. I one time asked a student in to find out his knowledge in church history, just tell me one of the leaders of the Protestant Reformation. And he said, it was Reform himself. I said, it's my first year there trying to teach. And I thought, this is not like Stetson. This is not like America. And I said, Lord, keep me from losing my temper or losing my patience. If we have not love, if I have not love, I am nothing, said Paul in verse 7, as it's recorded here in Corinthians. If I don't have love, I'm nothing. And I thought, if there's anything I need, it's love. I've never forgotten the first time I tried to go out and witness in the Shona dialect. Well, I thought I was something. I was God's gift to the Africans. And I had education, and I had a year's study of the language, and so I went out with Isaac Chigeti, one of the pastors. And after visiting several places, we came to one house, and the man answered. He had on a sport coat, typical of those in the British setup, where they don't have a sweater with a letter on it, but they have a sport coat, you know, and the emblem. So I could tell he was a very educated African man. But I was trying to witness in the dialect, although he knew English. And so I started witnessing to him. And he said, mirai, mirai, that means stop or hold on, wait. And then he just pointed his finger at Brother Chigeti and at me, and he said, mapenzi, and that means fools, fools. And I thought to myself, here I am coming halfway around the world, and I want to witness to a man, and the man calls me a fool. Well, I'd been called that in America. I didn't need to go around there to know that. But I'll tell you the difference. Years ago, when I visited somebody here in the States, I was a young pastor, and the fellow said, there are too many hypocrites down at your church. I said something to him and walked away, and this is what I said. I said, come on, we've got room for one more, and left. But I didn't say anything like that in Salisbury. I just shook my head and said, well, Dini Rombo, I'm sorry about that. And I walked away. I got a few lumps in my throat, but I decided that I would be patient and have kindness, and I wouldn't get mad, and try to show love to that man. Love is patient and kind. One of our missionaries who spent a furlough here at this seminary, Gene Phillips, had the privilege of leading a witch doctor in the Gutu area of Rhodesia to become a Christian. Gene came back and he took a master's degree here, wrote his master's thesis on polygamy. Gene Phillips worked and worked and worked in this area, and I'm sure his love or his patience could have run out and he could have said, okay, I'll just leave it and I'll move on somewhere else. I can devote my time to a place where more people are coming in if I want to count numbers. But he worked, and this witch doctor was converted. His name was Cuthbert Mutasa. And later, this same man came to the seminary. And I want to set the record straight. It's not a seminary like this. It's a pastor's training school. Could have a better name, or more like Fruitland here in North Carolina. It's not on this academic level at all. And so Cuthbert Mutasa came, and he studied 3 years there at the seminary, and now he is back pastoring to the Shona people near the place where he was converted. It's only love that keeps us going. And I don't mean to talk all the time about missionaries. We have a pastor that had a child that was born with a weak heart. And this man could have resigned. He could have gone and said, I don't believe in self-supporting work. I'm going and take a job and make a lot of money rather than have to get by on the small amount of money that the African Christians can pay me in Highfields Church here in Salisbury, Rhodesia. And so Isaac Chigeti could have said that, but he didn't. And he and his wife stayed. And the Lord saw fit to take that little child. And I've never heard anything more powerful than the testimony of this man to the love of God and the power of God in keeping him to keep on and to keep on and to keep on. And I just want to stand here and bear witness today that the love of Christ can conquer witchcraft, that the love of Christ can conquer temper, it can conquer anything. And I found out this one thing, that just because I leave North Carolina and go to Rhodesia, it doesn't mean that I am more holy, that I have more love in my heart than a man who works right here. It means this, that I need more than ever the power of Christ in my personal life to show that love and to be more patient and more loving and more kind than I have been here. You say, well, what can we do? And I think I can best illustrate this in the story which I read in the American Baptist Convention Devotional Quarterly, a true story which happened in New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Canada, years ago. Two small boys were fishing off of a wharf, reaching out into the Atlantic Ocean, and one fell off. The other boy tied a life rope around his waist, handed it to the man standing next to him on the wharf. The other boy jumped in to rescue his friend. He got to the youngster, put his arm around him, and we'd say he saved him. And he turned back for the man with the life rope to pull them in. But nothing happened. Not being a very good swimmer, the rescuer and the one he went to rescue both drowned. Of course, other people tried to help, but they both died. Someone asked the man on the wharf, "What happened when they gave you the life rope?" And despondently he said, "I let the rope slip through my hands. I let the rope slip through my hands." And I say to you this morning, jump in and help us. Or if you can't, at least don't let the ropes slip through your hands or through the hands of the church where you pastor. May we pray. Almighty and merciful Father, whose power and whose love work together for the good of thy children, we pray for faith to believe that thou dost rule the world, for faith to believe that if we seek first thy kingdom and righteousness, thou wilt provide for all of our lesser needs, for faith to keep calm and brave in the face of danger, for faith to put our trust in love rather than in force, for faith to leave in thy hands the welfare of our dear ones, for faith to rid ourselves of all vain anxieties and paralyzing fears, that our best strength may be devoted to thy service. In Christ's name.